And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. This is Friday, folks. I hope you're ready for a wonderful weekend. Get a chance to relax a little bit, I trust. Go to church if your church is open, and I trust it is. Many churches are open these days. And that's a good thing, in spite of the fact that in some places like California, I take it, churches are still being outlawed, still being required to close down. Or if you are open, you're not allowed to sing or pass the offering plate. You know, in other words, the state will tell you exactly how to conduct your service. Other than that, you can feel free to go ahead and have it. It reminds me a little bit like a little bit of Communist China. Communist China has a lawfully authorized church. It used to be called the Three Self Church. I don't know whether it still is, the Three Self Church. And they told you exactly what you could say and what you could not say. And as long as you live within those strictures, all the supernatural stuff out, no return of Jesus Christ, no personal salvation in Jesus. But other than that, you know, great church. Just don't preach the Bible. But aside from that, and I guess if we have the de Blasio form of Christianity, that's exactly what it would be. You could, I suppose, do something if he allowed you to, but if you were not permitted to, if you were told not to and you did it anyway, then you'd be closed down permanently. You know, what happened to the days of the First Amendment? And by the way, this is First Amendment Friday, which means that I'm going to come to your calls early and give you a chance to bring up anything that you might have wanted to bring up earlier in the week. I mean, every day I end up leaving callers on the line who I just can't get to. So I hope that today we can get to everybody who calls in, and we'll certainly try. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And again, or any topic that I haven't even broached that you'd like to bring up, that you'd like to talk about, or any questions you'd like to ask, feel free to do that as well. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. And by the way, don't forget, we have podcasts. All of our programs are archived. So you can go to our website, afr.net, and you can listen to The Awakening anytime. It's posted usually within a couple of hours after the program is over. And so if you've got something you want to hear again, or you've heard something that you want someone else to hear, and you can feel free to just send them the link or send them to the website and just tell them, click on The Awakening or any other program on our network that you'd like to hear. And you can do that. And that really helps us, by the way. So we'd appreciate it if you would keep that in mind, our podcast on AFR.net. Let's see. Oh, please don't forget, July 14th is coming up, 2-7-14, for 2 Chronicles 7-14. That's the symbolic meaning of that date and time. And we're going to be gathering across the country. And folks, we now have 26 states, I believe, 26 states in which these will be happening in multiple locations in many of those states. And if you'd like to join in with prayer for our country, and that's what this is all about. This is all about praying for America. And do we need prayer now? You know, my pastor used to say, you've got to pray like everything depends upon God and work like everything depends upon us. Pray like everything depends upon God because it does, and work like everything depends upon us because it does. There's an old saying, without us, God won't. Without God, we can't. And so we have to play our part. We have to make ourselves available to the Lord in order to see to it that his plans and purposes are fulfilled. So join with us this coming Tuesday. And by the way, I will still be on the air because the prayer will start immediately afterwards. I will be coming to you from Richmond, Virginia, where we're holding prayer at the Capitol. And as soon as I get done with the program, I will walk a few minutes up to the Capitol and begin to pray for our country with a group of patriots who will be there, rip-roaring, ready to go. And people will be doing this, by the way, all over the country. But each meeting will take place at 2 o'clock. So they therefore won't all happen at the same time, but they will happen at the same time within particular time zones in order to stay with that symbolic meaning. Now, there are going to be some virtual meetings as well. So people are going to be doing various things to adapt to the circumstances in their particular state. But I am really grateful to God and grateful to all of you who are joining in to lift up our nation before God. And by the way, we intend to do this every year. We think there's never going to come a time when we don't need to cry out to God for the sins of our nation and ask Him to forgive us and show us mercy. So I'd love to have you join. And if you want to do that, if you're just hearing about this for the first time or you've heard it, but you forgot to take note of how to join in, email me at ewj@standamerica.us. That's ewj@standamerica.us. Now, speaking of the various states, you all are aware, aren't you, that Mississippi, having decided to change its flag, is being sued by the Satanic Temple in Mississippi, a Satanic Temple, because there's a proposal to include "In God We Trust" on the Mississippi flag. And the Satanic Temple is suing and saying, if you want to include "In God We Trust" on the Mississippi flag, you've got to include "In Satan We Trust." That's where the litigious nature of our society has brought us, and that's where the lawless, unconstitutional courts that have often decided these issues have given license to wicked, demonic people like the Satanic Temple that has the unmitigated gall to sue the state of Mississippi, demanding that if you're going to put up a flag that says "In God We Trust," then you've got to put up a flag that says, you got to add to that flag, "In Satan We Trust." Okay, that's not going to happen. It should not be allowed to happen. But to think that you might not be able to put "In God We Trust," which is a national motto, because some idiots want to sue you so that you, to tell you, if you're going to say that, you got to put, we don't, the slogan on our money is not "In Satan We Trust, thank you very much." It's "In God We Trust." And it was put on our money to suggest that we don't trust in the money, we trust in God. We are a Christian culture. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. If the Satanic Temple doesn't like that, then go find some country where they like Satanic temples and go live there. This stuff is just... So that's why we're praying, folks. That's why we're praying for craziness like this. In Maryland, a group of students want Winston Churchill's name removed from their school, their high school, because they say Winston Churchill was responsible for a famine that took place in India, and that he is the one who engineered it. And history tells a very different story. I've read the biography of Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, like so many others, was not a perfect man, but Winston Churchill was a man who cared about people. That's how he built his career. People. His career was built not on the support of the patricians and the lords and the ladies, but it was the people who really fell in love with Winston Churchill because he was a fighter. And there's just no truth to this whatsoever. But nevertheless, this is what they're using to smear him. They want his name removed, and they want to name it perhaps after W.E.B. Du Bois, who became a communist, by the way. He became a communist, left this country, and moved to Africa. I don't know whether he ever announced his citizenship, but he did become a communist. I wouldn't name anything after W.E.B. Du Bois because he betrayed our country. Instead of fighting for the things he believed in, he went communist. Let's see. Oh, and I'll tell you about this one when we come back, but an Eagles player is praising Louis Farrakhan. How upset do you think the NFL is about that? Huh? Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
For decades, most people knew Bono as a musician with the group U2 and a social activist. But today, many of his fans would be surprised to hear him promote some of the benefits of capitalism. At a World Economic Forum, he made this observation. Capitalism is not immoral, it's amoral. It requires our instruction. Capitalism has taken more people out of poverty than any other ism. But it is a wild beast, and if not tamed, can chew up a lot of people along the way. As you can see, he isn't a complete supporter of the free market, but he is willing to give some appreciation for what capitalism has done to reduce extreme poverty. Hugh Welch, who is the executive director of the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics, begins his essay with this quote from Bono. He then goes on to document something I've talked about with a number of economists and theologians on the Point of View radio talk show. Capitalism has been able to raise more than 1 billion people around the world out of extreme poverty. On one of my radio programs, I quoted a Barna survey of Americans. 3/4 of those surveyed believed that world poverty had increased. Only 7% thought it decreased. Scott Todd, in his book Hope Rising, reminds us that in 1981, a majority of the developing world's population lived in extreme poverty. That percentage has been cut by more than half. Hugh Welch reminds us that in a recent Gallup poll, it shows that a majority of young people favor socialism over capitalism. The increased visibilities of members of Congress who openly describe themselves as socialists suggest that the percentage of young people embracing socialism might increase. These young people need to pay attention to Bono and the world economic statistics that demonstrate the power of a free market to relieve poverty. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. President Trump is ready to make a final and complete break with Anthony Fauci. Voter fraud is a real thing, and a postal carrier proves it. Lies about systemic racism in law enforcement are fueling the war on cops. Seattle may be the next insane big city to abolish its police department, and regressives want to abolish citizenship. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So Malik Jackson and DeSean Jackson, I guess both of the Philadelphia Eagles, are defending Louis Farrakhan. And actually, DeSean Jackson posted some things that Louis Farrakhan had to say. And then Malik Jackson defended DeSean Jackson and called Louis Farrakhan an honorable person who was saying things that need to be said. And he speaks the truth and believes in the protection of self, and that scares the racists. Louis Farrakhan is a vicious, vile, demonic, racist, and anti-Semite. And only in America, could he have the freedom to be as vile as he is. And look, I defend his right to be vile, but he is vile. And the fact that the NFL supports the denigration of our flag, supports people disrespecting our national anthem and hiding behind, oh, this is about police brutality. I mean, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. It's about hating America. I've always known it, and now it's clear because Colin Kaepernick, just within the last, week or two, said, I refuse to celebrate your white supremacist holiday July 4th. So it's about hating America. But here you've got people in the NFL, two black players in this case, defending a vicious racist. And that's okay. You know, I hope the American people, I'm serious, folks, just discard these professional sports leagues. And we just have to believe God for people to rise up who will start leagues that actually honor our country, stay out of politics, just entertain us, just do a good job of playing the sport, as opposed to all of this stupid nonsense we have to hear from the mouths of these ignorant players who are, they don't have the sense God gave a gnat. They think they know so much. They don't know anything. If Louis Farrakhan were to run this country, people would say, well, Deshaun Jackson and Malik Jackson, I think Malik Jackson particularly, said he's not like that scum Hitler. But I'll tell you what, if Louis Farrakhan had the ability, he would do exactly what Hitler has done, because he's just that full of hatred and venom and murderous intent. And I won't even bother to go into the history of Malcolm X. I will leave you all to research that. But please, and that's why Roger Goodell, he needs to be fired. He really does. He needs to be fired. What is wrong with these team owners that they keep paying this man $40, $50 million a year in a private jet and all of that, to be as stupid as he is and to be as anti-American as he is, or to at least pander to these anti-American demagogues? That's why I love watching football. I can't watch it anymore. I'm just disgusted with the whole thing. I really am. It's just, they've ruined the sport. Okay, let's come to your calls, because this is First Amendment Friday. I want to get right to you all. So let's see. Let's begin with Julian in Georgia. Julian, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, Bishop. He was talking about the motto, "In God We Trust." You know, 64 years ago this month, I think it was Congress that passed that. That was our motto.
Yes. Yes. Under Eisenhower, the Eisenhower administration. Yep.
Yes, sir. You was also talking about freedom of religion and the Bill of Rights and all that. You know how we got a Bill of Rights? Let me tell you how we got a Bill of Rights. They was trying to pass the Constitution.
Right.
There's a bunch of Baptists. I'm kind of proud of my Baptist history. Bunch of Baptists. That's before they had split. Bunch of Baptists up there in Virginia. And used to, if you didn't preach like the Anglican Church, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, they'd throw you in jail, they'd put you in prison, they'd beat you, and they'd take away your church. So Thomas Jefferson knew that he was going to have to get the Baptists behind them to get that Constitution passed. And he went to a preacher named Elder John Leland. He said, "What would it take to get y'all to back us for this Constitution?" He said, "Give us a Bill of Rights and let freedom of religion be number one." That's how we got the Bill of Rights.
Well, that's an interesting history there, Julia, that I had not heard. Of course, I'm familiar with George Mason, who also did not want to sign the Bill of Rights. Actually, James Madison didn't want to sign it either until there was a guarantee of a Bill of Rights. But the promise that there would be a Bill of Rights that would be forthcoming shortly thereafter gave them the signatures that they needed and the ratification that they needed. So, but your little backstory there is very interesting. Thanks for the call, Julian. We appreciate that. Have a great weekend. Let's go to Jack in Ohio. Jack, welcome.
Yes. It's very interesting. Thanks for the call, Julian.
Yes.
You're on, Jack.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Bishop. I know you were talking earlier there about taking action and how it seems that the good Lord favors those who seek his favor. I appreciate that. If I might gain a little bit of understanding, I'm only able to receive your program kind of intermittent. I live way out in the boonies there in southern Ohio, and so when I travel, I listen as best I can. Do I understand it correctly that you are a former Marine? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. That's right.
Just Semper Fi myself as
Semper
well.
Semper Fi.
Defense Information School. And next question is, you're also an attorney, is that correct?
Well, yes, sir. I retired from the practice of law, but yes, I practiced law for about 15 years, yes.
No, sir, that's fine. I'm just trying to gain some clarity here, and I'm seeking some direction. Through prayer, I've discovered some things, and it kind of relates to a question that you had offered you the other day. And so I'm hoping maybe you can give me some insight, and maybe some of the listeners, because I know, especially during this point in time, it's a pretty serious quandary. You know, it's my understanding, especially having been a Marine, the law and the Supreme Court says everybody's supposed to know the law. We're all supposed to know the law, right? And that ignorance of the law is no excuse. I hear back and forth about democracy and republic, but, you know, I've got a couple of different volumes of court complete law books on the federal and the state level, and I'm a pretty good reader. Like I said, I'm a graduate of the Defense Information School. I won a number of awards being a journalist and did things in the government that I can't really talk mm-hmm. about. And my question is this. To the extent that this is the only country since, as I understand, the time of Judea that acknowledges that all rights come from God, right? All rights right. come from God. Next, God, no, they can't be taken. That's our inalienable rights. And yet we deal with a government of man here. We have to deal with that. We've conglomerated, you know, and agreed for that for the purposes. But the jurisdiction that holds power over each of us as individuals is a twofold thing, is it not? It's over the subject matter and over the person themselves. And so for things like, let's say, Roe versus Wade, was that decision not really predicated upon the fact that that woman gave up jurisdiction of her physical body and the child, the unborn child in her womb, gave it away from
all
God
right,
and gave it
Jack,
to man?
Jack, I've got the point. You're getting us into some legal weeds there, and I don't want to spend too much time on that because you're getting into jurisdictional issues. You are right. Courts take a jurisdiction over parties and over persons. But that gets us into a whole discussion when you start going talking about Roe v. Wade in that situation. Let's see. Do I have enough time to get another one in? Okay, let's go to – thank you for the call, Jack. We appreciate it. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to ask you what you know about finding out about local people running for things, because in this recent turn of events, when we see what mayors can do, I had no idea that they could be that powerful. And I did just a small amount of work for somebody on a local election, and I saw his opponent, who I knew was a Democrat, and what she did, and I just felt like she was going to win, and she was very aggressive, and she went and met people. It was more of a, you know, a smaller office.
Right.
She went and met people all around and had a whole team and all that. So I wanted to know what you know about, you know, winning
right.
local elections.
Okay. All right. Lynn, that's a very good question, and I've gotten involved in politics on the local level as well as the state and federal levels. And on the local level, you're right. It tends to be person to person. The candidates who do best on the local level tend to be those who knock on doors or have volunteers knocking on doors and putting literature in people's hands and being on the phone and actually asking people to vote. And these local elections are often won by very small numbers of people. You can win a school board or city council election sometime with a matter of a few hundred votes, or sometimes a few thousand votes. Top vote getters in one of the towns I lived in for a while, the town had 220,000 people, but you could win a city council seat with 11,000 votes, which is a very, very small percentage of the number of people who are actually living in the town. So the thing is, even though local elections tend to be nonpartisan, you ought to always contact your local party apparatus, the Republican unit or the Democrat unit, to find out who's running. They are usually heavily involved in that. The other thing you can do, obviously, is go to these school board meetings and these city council meetings and get to actually meet some of these people and find out who they are and what they're thinking and their philosophies are. But look, it's a process. Get involved, folks. Get involved, because often the person running for Congress is somebody who already ran for school board or city council. And if that person is a pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-Israel, anti-church, anti-God candidate, you can find that out long before they rise and stop them before they ever get to the higher level. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Over in Sweden, one morning late in the 1800s, a fellow awoke from his sleep to find himself dead. Well, not really dead. It was just that the newspapers had gotten him confused with his brother, and when they printed the obituary, they had printed his by mistake. Imagine that, reading your own obituary. Talk about a shocking experience. Well, it was a really shocking experience for this particular fellow. For the first time in his life, or death as it appeared, he saw himself as others saw him. It seems that the reporter, in writing the obituary, referred to him as the Dynamite King. You see, this man who had supposedly died had spent his entire life in the field of explosives. He had discovered dynamite, blasting gelatin, and ballistite, along with detonators for explosives. In the process, he had grown extremely rich. And now, with the world thinking he was dead, he didn't like what he was being remembered for. This fellow didn't like the idea of being remembered as the Dynamite King. To him, the nickname implied something that he thought was destructive. So, at that very moment, he set about to correct the situation. He took his money and put it into a trust fund to promote awards for people who had contributed the most good in particular areas of man's concern each year. He set up 5 areas, including physics, chemistry, physiology or medicine, literature, and peace. The winner of the award in each area annually receives gifts of money for his efforts. You know, I guess many of us would change a few things if we knew what the world would remember us for. Most of us are like the fellow mentioned earlier. We are of the opinion that when we die, people will pay tribute to us for our great gains or our hard work. A lot of us would be just as surprised as he was if we could read our own obituary, if we could see what we would be remembered for. One of the real mistakes we humans habitually make is that of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. A little bow-legged Jew had something to say about that a few hundred years ago. He said we should think of ourselves in sober judgment. What he knew is that many times we drink until we are drunk with our own pride, selfishness, and ego. What am I doing that I'll be remembered for? If a lot of us would spend the next 10 minutes answering that question in sober judgment, it could bring about just as tremendous a change in our lives as it brought about in the life of the gentleman mentioned earlier. He changed for the good. A lot of us need to do that also. If you're wondering about who the man was, his name was Alfred Barnard Nobel. If you have never heard of him, you may have heard of the Nobel Prizes. Those are the awards he established as a direct result of reading his own obituary.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we've got some lines open, got quite a few calls to take. And this is First Amendment Friday, so we're taking as many calls as we can today. One thing I want to put on the table I haven't talked about, but I really did get a little incensed when I realized the Supreme Court has left open the door for Congress and even lower courts to subpoena the President of the United States for his private financial documents. The President of the United States represents a co-equal branch of government. The judiciary is a co-equal branch of government. The Congress is a co-equal branch of government. And if you're going to allow every little lower court, district court judge to harass the President of the United States and haul him in and have his lawyers busy trying to gather documents, you could literally bring the president's activity in behalf of the country to a halt. And I don't know what's wrong with the Supreme Court these days. Why? The president is not above the law. He is in office for a limited amount of time. And any lawsuits or any actions against him can always be brought when he leaves office. But while he's in office, he should be left alone to do the work of the people. That's what he was elected to do. So it's just another way of subverting his ability to do his job. And somehow he keeps doing it anyway. God bless him. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, this Supreme Court is like a yo-yo. You know, you're up one day, you're down the next, and there's no telling where they're liable to go. I hope the president of the United States that we have in office today gets an opportunity to appoint a couple of more pro-life, pro-constitutional, textualist, originalist judges who will interpret the Constitution based on what the founders and the writers of the Constitution intended rather than their own political and ideological worldview that they want to impose on the rest of the country, or even their own political prejudices that they want to impose on a particular president. So it really is exasperating. 888-589-8840. Any topic is up for discussion today, so let's come to your calls again. You've been very patient, Carrie, from Mississippi. Welcome. Sure.
Hey, Pastor, or Bishop, love your show. We try to listen to it every day.
Thank you.
As a Marine and a patriot, you know, we're brothers, but we're also brothers in Christ.
Amen.
And this world that we're living in right now is falling apart at the seams. And Revelation says, tells us real clear that you know, this thing's going to come to an end. And how they're going to explain the missing 25% of Earth's population when it just vanishes. Whereas, I mean, we will, number one, we'll be raptured up. I'm a preacher, I'm not going to get into that. But I think we're going to be in a civil war very soon, and we're going to have to stand up against these people. I watched a video, I'm not going to go into it. It was a pastor that had a prophetic dream, and it's been verified, and I have to vet these things out. His name is Dana Coverstone. He had a dream in December that what was going to happen between March and June, and it played out to a T. He shared this with his deacons and his elders. He's had two subsequent dreams since then, what was going to happen between June and October, and the third one is what was going to happen between November and December. And the third one, he said, I'll be the first to say it if none of this happens, and I hope it don't, that we were going to be in a full-blown civil war. And we need to be prepared. Number one, we need to be in prayer. But this world, this United States that we live in, we've killed 70 million babies, and we need to repent. We need to ask forgiveness of our sins. We need to be prepared for the return of Christ, because he's coming, and I think he's coming sooner than we know. And I love your show. God bless you,
and
everything that you do, brother. I just appreciate all that you do.
God bless you, brother. Thank you. And Carrie, you're not the first person to raise the issue of civil war. I hope that never happens again in our country. And I mean that, folks, with all of my heart. I hope that never happens again in our country. But it would be remiss of me to deny that we're now seeing articles written about it. We're now seeing polling done. Pew? I'm not sure whether it was Pew or Rasmussen. That did a poll not too long ago, which it showed two-thirds of the American people believe that within 5 years we would be in a civil war. Now, that doesn't mean it's inevitable or that it's going to happen, but it just goes to show the mindset that people have, because the divisions are so deep and so stark that one wonders how they ever get resolved. That's why you're right. We're on July 14th. We're praying, and one of the things we're going to be praying for is an awakening, a revival in our country. We've been praying for our country, for our Constitution, against communism and socialism and Marxism, because let's face it, the root of a lot of this stuff is in these anti-God, anti-Christian ideologies that have a different worldview about who the human being is and what the human being needs. And what they really want to do is enslave every human being to a system that they think will perfect us. But we've seen how that's worked out before. It's a genocidal nightmare. So, Carrie, unfortunately, I wish I could say raising the issue of civil war is just ridiculous and nobody even ought to talk about it. For the first time in my lifetime, people are talking about it seriously. But it is my earnest wish and prayer that we never, ever, ever, ever face anything like that. My prayer is for a revival and an awakening, and then nothing like that would ever be necessary. So, but thanks for the call, Carrie. Let's see. Let's go to Ron in Florida. Ron, welcome.
Thank you. And like the gentleman before, you know, God bless you. God bless America, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
What I wanted to talk about is my experience with police corruption.
Okay.
I was essentially, I caught an officer when a lieutenant lying in a probable cause affidavit. I had a tape recorder going in my hand at this incident that proved that what he put in the probable cause for arrest affidavit was a lie, felony perjury. Well, later on, he's chief of police. But I started making phone calls and talking to, you know, different people, the attorney general, the governor's office, the FBI, and nobody's doing anything. When I talked to a state senator, and he called me back, said, well, there's really nothing I can do. This is my first term. I said, okay, now I'm calling Washington, D.C. Now I'm calling the media. Nobody in Arkansas is doing anything. So I'm coming back from, I live right up in the northwest corner, just a few miles from Missouri, and I cross back over, back into Arkansas, and the cop pulls me over, and I'm vehicles swarm around my vehicle and box me in. Then I go to jail, and the judge, because of the Arkansas State Police, their malfeasance, grants an unprecedented $350,000 bond for talking to someone on the phone who's over 200 miles away who said he never said he was going to do anything to anybody, and he was coerced by the state police to use the word threatened, and they had to ask him two or three times. So I ended up sitting in the Benton County Jail in Bentonville, Arkansas, the second worst facility in the country for civil rights violation complaints, for 14 and a half months.
Wow.
I was essentially held hostage. Yeah.
Well, and, well, Ron, because we have limited time, where are you now? What's the circumstance now? What's happened? Has this got resolved?
I can't get a job delivering pizzas because of my background check. And let me warn your listeners. Now, first of all, I just want to say this real quick because I'm very proud of it. There's four civil rights violations that they can't commit anymore because of yours truly, because I took a stand. I educate yourself. I learned their handbook and their policies and procedures. I knew it better than the deputies in the jail. And I used it.
Now, Ron, let me ask you one other question. Is there a racial element to this? You didn't mention one. Because, you know, everybody's accusing the police of being racist. Is there a racial element to this well?
But maybe. Because my ex-wife is Filipino, a dark-skinned Filipino.
And you're an American of European descent?
No, yes, I'm Caucasian, yes.
Okay,
but
all right.
My son was, you know, straight A in the gifted program, straight A's, well behaved, and I guess those snobby white women didn't like it. But anyway, okay. No. So okay. Maybe there was some kind of, you know, racial element because she's Filipino.
Ron, listen. Man, you have a very interesting story. I got to get to some other calls, but I appreciate you sharing that with us. I think, Ron, what your story tells us, and we all know this, police are not perfect. And with, as I've said, with a million law enforcement officers, I think about 800,000 of them are patrol officers, you're going to get some people who are not going to do right. I mean, it's just axiomatic, but I'm really sorry to hear that the whole system seems to have caved in on you and that you didn't ever get justice based on what you're telling me. So we got to pray that that is the kind of thing that doesn't happen. I was, in fact, watching a show last night in which a police chief got sent to jail. So stand by, folks. Back in a moment.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God. Learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you've been looking for? Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session starts August 10th. Mission outreach, the Middle East.
The Ministry of Preborn is dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound. And even in this time of national crisis, Preborn is there. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
No college classes and sheltering in have led to an explosion of unplanned pregnancies. Women are panicked about their pregnancies and wanting to abort. Our crisis line is the busiest it's ever been. Here's Catherine, one of our crisis line operators.
Girls are often desperate being pregnant in this pandemic. With your help, we are able to be here for them.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. Would you join Preborn in the cause for life? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say the keyword baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
I was able to go and meet Billy Graham and at his house, like at his home.
This is Focus on the Family Minute. Willie Robertson remembers how Billy Graham demonstrated the leadership qualities of Jesus.
So I went up and I went in his room and, you know, he's and he was having a hard time hearing, just, you know, because he's older. And his daughter said, "Daddy, this is Willie Robertson. He's on a TV show. He came all the way from Louisiana to see you." And he looked up and he said, "To see me? Why would anybody want to see me?" And I was like, wow, like that's what I want to be like. To where he sit, you talk about living that Philippians 2 as a leader, and all he's done is to say, why would somebody come see me? That's the leadership style of Jesus.
More from Willie today at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Let me just say, folks, as in the interest of fairness with regard to Ron's story, the other thing is obviously you can call a radio program and you give your side of the story, but there would be others who would say, well, wait a minute, there's another side to this story, and we don't get a chance to hear that. And so therefore, it's just important to know we're only hearing one side. I'm not doubting Ron at all. I believe the man is sincere and I take him at his word, but here again, there's always another side to it, and we don't get a chance to hear that side, and therefore we always have to approach these things with a degree of, shall we say, reservation until we can hear the full story. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. It's First Amendment Friday, and we are taking your calls, and we're getting some very interesting calls to folks. That last one was one of them. Let's go to Carla in Texas. You've been very patient, Carla. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Thanks. I so appreciate your service.
Thank you.
I just had a couple thoughts about the how they're wanting in Satan we trust on the flag. From what I know about the Bible, what it says about Satan, he thinks he is God. So to me, they're acknowledging that Satan is God, else they would be okay with it saying, "In God we trust." That's just my thought.
Well, Carla, that's a good, because I think they would say Satan is their God.
Right. That's the whole point. So if they think Satan is a God, then why can't they have "In God we trust" on the flag? That's just what I'm thinking.
Well, they can have, I tell you what, they can go put "In God we trust" or in "Satan we trust" or anything they want. They want to trust on their own flag and put it on their own property. But we're not flying any flag on public property. I mean, my goodness gracious. Mississippi just took down the flag that they had because it had a Confederate, I guess, had the stars and bars in it. They took that flag down. Now they wanted to put up a flag that says "In Satan we trust." I don't think the people of Mississippi are going to go along with that one. So, Carla, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Darren in Texas. Darren, welcome.
Hello, EW.
Hey, Darren.
I just have two things to say. And the first, I want to make it very, very clear, because I know there's ears listening. Slavery is an awful, horrible thing. God despises it. We wish it had never happened. However, at the time, God used white colonials to found the New World, to set up a government based in his laws and to spread Christianity throughout the world. And if it hadn't been for the unfortunate existence of slavery, America would not look like it does today. We would have blacks, but not like we do, not in the millions of numbers. And the gospel would not have been spread to the African like it has. God used the unfortunate situation of slavery to bring many, many Africans to their slave owners' religion, to Christianity, and were honestly better Christians than their owners most of the time. Now, having said that, there is a video on YouTube that you will want to watch. Everybody needs to watch it. I think AFR will have these gentlemen on. Like, one day you'll have them on every show. The name is Will Ford and Matt Lockett. And if you've not heard this story, just look that up on YouTube. They're in a congregation giving a testimony about slavery, and it is absolutely incredible. It shows that God was working then, and he is definitely working now. And that's all I have to say.
It's wait a minute, Darren, it's Will Ford and Matt Lockett?
Yes, sir. They've actually got a book written. They've been on Huckabee. They've been on Eric Metaxas. But it's about a 30-minute clip, and it's these two men in front of a congregation in Texas. That's the one you really want to watch. It will blow you away.
All right, Darren. Well, listen, we appreciate the call. And, Darren, I just want to say that what you've just expressed about slavery is something I have said all over this country every time I've had a chance. You know, it is a classic rendition of the story of Joseph. You may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And which is another reason why I've said I've angered some people to hear me say this, but it's the way I feel, and I'm not backing off of it. At this point, I don't really care how my ancestors got here. I'm just glad they got here. Because as a result of their coming here, I get to be born a citizen of the greatest nation in the history of the world, with more freedom, more opportunity, more hope, more ability to fulfill my God-given potential than I would have had in any other place in the world. And so, yes, they paid a horrible price, and they sacrificed, as did many others, fighting for our freedom, so that I could enjoy a liberty that they knew nothing about, and frankly, that most people in the world know very little about. So, yeah, you are right. And so we'll check that out. We'll... Ford and Matt Lockett. Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but we will check it out, Darren. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I just want to say that I appreciate your optimism. I mean, I'm sorry, your hopefulness in the future of this country. I know that's rooted in God, and I share that same hopefulness with you. I hear a lot of people call, not a lot of people call, but some people call on your and some of my Christian friends that are, you know, they're like, man, what can we do now? You know, I just think it's too far gone. I think it's too far gone. And I want to remind everybody, when you think you're insignificant, remember when Goliath was taunting God and taunting the whole arm, the army of the Israelites, and King Saul and the generals and the captains and the you know, the soldiers, were all they could think about was Goliath, and a 15-year-old shepherd boy who didn't set out to be some hero. He was just trusting in God, and he heard this. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine taunting the living God, the God of Israel? You know, and he didn't, I mean, God used, and the story's not about David or Goliath or us, the story's about God. Mm-hmm. And God can use, if you got to keep trust and faith in God. You never know when God might use you to do something big. If he can use a 15-year-old shepherd boy to rally the entire Israelite nation when he was the only one fully trusting in God at that particular time.
Amen.
And not just in Israel, but in the whole world, you know, 15-year-old boy. So,
well, Wesley,
guess what? That God then is the same God right now. He's the same
God.
Yes, sir.
Wesley, listen, you just preached a sermon, my friend. And I loved every minute of it. Thank you for the call, Wesley. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to Matt in Alabama. Matt, welcome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. How are you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I just want to tell you I love your show so much, and I want to agree with the caller before the last one about, you know, blacks should be thankful that we took them into slavery. I mean, if it hadn't been for that, then they wouldn't have the privilege of living here and being saved by Jesus. So I think that, honestly, if the blacks don't really like it, then they should leave.
Okay. Now, careful.
They should be thankful for what they've done.
because remember, it's not the blacks. It's a certain element in the community that is really stoking up this hatred and this anger. I mean, I'm black. I don't feel that way. My children don't feel that way. Many of the people who work with me and Stand don't feel that way. But there is this element that I think it's because they have an agenda. They have an agenda, and they are trying to keep us divided and keep us angry and keep everybody focused on the past. So, I agree insofar as I've said, people like Colin Kaepernick and all of these other folks who have experienced the very best that America has to offer, who hate this country, ought to just leave and leave the rest of us who love it and want to be here to make the very best nation we can. So listen, I'm running short on time. I'd come back to you, but thank you so much for the call. Let's go to, where are we not taking a call from? Let's go to Chris in Oklahoma. Chris, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just found your show not too long ago. I've been listening every day. So
thank you.
Keep up the good work. And what I wanted to talk about is really how everything going on, we have the media that is constantly every day pushing division,
yep,
talking about how white people are evil, cops are evil, this, that, and the other. And if you read the Bible, when Satan took Jesus up to the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, he said, I can give you these because they've been given to me. So what people really need to understand, I think, is that the person who's controlled, that the entity, the spirit that is controlling things right now, is the spirit of the devil, the spirit, yeah, of evil. And all the governments, the media, most of them are all bought and paid for, and they're pushing one message, and that's hate and anger and division, because they want us all fighting each other. They don't want us knowing the truth. And the truth is that we're all brothers and sisters, and God created every one of us equally, and we should love each other.
Amen.
They don't want us doing that, because then we stand up to their oppression. That's the last thing they want, and that's really all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, Chris, well said, and thank you. You're right. Satan is the god of this world, and we do have a lot of Christians who believe that somehow God is in charge, and everything that's happening is happening as a result of his will and his plan, and that's just not true. Satan is the god of this world. The Bible says the god of this world has blinded people's eyes. God is the ultimate arbiter of the outcome of human history. So no matter what Satan does, God is going to win in the end. But Satan is the one who is controlling all of this stuff. I mean, God is not killing children in the streets. God is not burning down property. God is not attacking cops. God is not doing any of that. That's all the work of the devil. And of course, the job of the church is to destroy the works of the devil. Look, folks, I've got to get this in. July 14th, please don't forget. Most of you, I see some callers from Arkansas. I think we've got somebody from Oklahoma hosting a prayer meeting on a Stand in Prayer for America rally on July the 14th. But if you're not and you're listening and you want to get involved, email me at ewj@standamerica.us, because everything that all of you have said indicates we need prayer in our country. And one caller pointed out, God intended this country to be represented by people from all over the world. I believe that with every fiber of my being. How he got us here varies depending upon our background. But we may have all come, our ancestors, on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. So, folks, let's make sure that the boat doesn't sink, but that it sails on into a great future. Listen, God bless each and every one of you. Enjoy your weekend. Go to church, worship God. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.